Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are back again with a series of messages on the subject of spiritual sacrifices we offer to the Lord. And what are these spiritual sacrifices to be? Spiritual sacrifices we offer to the Lord. We have pointed out before, and I don't want to go deeply into this, but we pointed out before that the idea of sacrifice, this phrase sacrifice, comes from the Old Testament. It begins clear back in the time when Abel offered a sacrifice to God. Abel, the son of Adam, realizing he was a sinner before God, offered before God a blood sacrifice. Even that early in his life, he offered to God a blood sacrifice. We believe that even Adam and Eve, when they made clothes for themselves first, offered those animals in sacrifice for the sins they had terribly committed against God, when God had been so good and gracious to them, and they deliberately disobeyed Him. And then they realized their need of offering sacrifices to God. So throughout the Old Testament, these sacrifices were commanded by God. And so these were right before God. They were a picture of God's mercy. They were a picture of their need before God, that they were sinners, that they needed salvation from God. Especially, every sacrifice was a picture of the coming Savior, the Lord Jesus. So by faith, these people of Israel would look forward to the time centuries past, centuries beyond them, beyond anything they could imagine, when finally the Savior would come. The one who would be called by John in John 1:29, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And I trust each of you, first of all, have trusted in this one, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. I trust you have realized that when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes unto the Father but by me," that the Lord Jesus meant what he said, that He is the only way to heaven. Not my church, not your church, not anyone else, not anything else can help me go to heaven. Only the Lord Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross and the grace of God which brings me to faith in the Lord Jesus can take me to heaven. So as we go into this series again today, I'm trusting that those who are listening have first of all offered this sacrifice to God, the sacrifice of faith in the Lord Jesus as your only means of salvation. If you have not offered this sacrifice, no matter what church you belong to, no matter what else you're doing, you are not saved. You need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Trust Him today. Now, if you have trusted Him as your Savior, there is another sacrifice you need to offer to God, and that is the sacrifice of listening to God, of listening to His voice, of listening to His word, of listening to His will. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 1, he has this to say, "Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools." Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. You know, God was speaking to those people even in the Old Testament times. When Moses died, there had been 5 books written of God's Word. It's true that they did not have the rest of the 66 books of the Bible, but they had at least the first 5 books. And these books had the principles that God had laid down for their lives, for their worship, for their salvation itself. All of these principles were laid down in these 5 books. All of the rules they were to follow, all of the ways they would look forward to the coming Savior, the way they would live their daily lives, the ways they were to walk before Him, the ways they were to have relationships with each other. Everything they needed was laid down. And then book by book by book, God continued to give His word. In the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, only 4 books of the New Testament had been given. In those days, they still needed tongues and prophecy and various other things. We don't need these things today because the Bible is now complete. But in those days, they needed these things. So God was continually speaking to them, and he wanted them to listen. He was looking for tender and open hearts of people who would listen to him and who would listen to his word. Many of you have copies of God's word in your homes, but you never read them. You never open one of them. One man might say to me, "Oh, I have 5 copies of the Bible somewhere in my home. I don't know where all of them are, but I know that I have them in my home." You know, it's not possessing a copy of his word that matters. It is reading and listening to the word of God that matters. The word of God is used by the Holy Spirit. We studied this a long time ago. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the word. When I read the word of God, the unsaved man cannot understand it. He can understand salvation, but he can't understand the reading of the word itself in the various parts and its various questions it raises and everything. But the Christian can understand the word of God because we're taught by the Holy Spirit. But if we're not reading it, if we're not listening to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to our hearts, if we're not tender and open to the Word of God and possessing the Word of God in our homes is of no value whatsoever to us. And so we don't boast in this. We boast in what we're doing with the Word of God. So now Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is saying that we are to listen to God when we come to him. We're to be listening to him. What does he want to say to me? I have learned, even as old as I am, that I have to be tender every time I open his word. So each morning I open his word for what we call devotions. I try to have a time in his word when I'm alone with God. I'm not preparing sermons and I'm not doing anything with his word except trying to understand what does God want to say to me. And so I try to have, and I pray for this every time I open his word, give me a listening heart. I don't want to read carelessly. Sometimes I'll underline verses in my Bible. I put circle around certain words where God is trying to speak to me from a certain verse. And he's saying to me, listen to my word. There was a man named Elijah. He was a great, great prophet. He served God faithfully all of his life, except on one occasion, when he became afraid of King Ahab, and he fled from the presence of God, went clear down from northern Israel, clear down to the southernmost part of Judea. From there he went clear down to Mount Sinai, down far south in the desert, and there God met with him. And God was saying to him, "What are you doing here? Elijah, what are you doing down here? Why aren't you up doing what I told you to do?" Now, the thing that I want you to notice is this. When God spoke to him, God did not shout at him. It's interesting when you read 1 Kings chapter 19. First of all, he heard the thunder and the earthquakes, but the voice of God was not there. And then he heard other noises, but the voice of God was not there. And finally, God spoke to him in a still, small voice. And then God said to him, "This is what I want you to do." What lesson can I learn from this? And that is that God does not want to shake me up. He doesn't want to have to punish me in order to get me to listen. He doesn't want to have to shout at me or thunder at me. God wants to be able to speak to me quietly in my heart, as he spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. And this means that I'm to have a tender, open, listening heart for God. I am open to what he wants to say. I am open and listening to his voice. I'm reading his word. Now, I don't believe that God has any more revelations for us. Every revelation is in the Bible itself. I hear people say sometimes, "I had this dream last night. I had this revelation from God." These things are not from God. They're from the devil. In other words, God is not giving new revelation. His revelation is complete. The problem is we're not reading what God has given us. So we don't need new revelations. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit as he opens to us God's Word, the Bible. We read various parts of it. We read with understanding. We read with tenderness. And then we're listening to the voice of God. And I would pray this for each of you. Listen to God. Let His Holy Spirit help you as you read God's Word. Read parts that you can understand, but listen to the voice of God as He speaks through His Word. And then do what God wants you to do. May the Lord bless you, each one.